Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
This is the cold Tony Robbins open. I'm not supposed to be here. Okay? The universe wants me here. The universe wants you here. I was hit by a car twice as a child. I was in a dirt bike accident. I still got the plastic surgery scars to prove it. My leg almost got chopped off. This is all before 10, friends. Look at me here. Lazy eye. Positive attitude. I'm here. You can be here too. The universe doesn't want you to die. End cut.
You sounded just like Tony Robbins. That was incredible.
That was actually all true, too. That's what's funny as fuck.
Oh, shit.
It's a while to talk about. I just thought about that the other day, though. I was like, man, I think of this. There has to be some sort of thought process where you have to at least entertain the, you know, what destiny means, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to at least entertain it to assume. Like, is there any, you know, is there any truth to it? Like, when you look at how things unfold, now it could also be just an ego thing in humans to, like, we need everything we need inside of us to tell us to keep doing something we want to do, even though it doesn't matter if we do it or not. But if we tell ourselves that this is the path I was given, because I could play that card. I could say, I shouldn't be alive. I was hit by a car twice. Mm-hmm. I almost lost my leg. This almost happened. This happened. And then I'm like, well, fuck yeah, bro. What am I doing here? I'm on a fucking mission, Todd.
I'm a big believer in destiny. When I should have been killed in a parking lot in the hood, the guy's gun didn't fire.
See?
They put it in the laboratory afterward, tested it, fired on the first shot.
What? That's fucking wild. Destiny. Is that called, what's that called? There's a thing for it, right? Manifest destiny? No, that's when you talk it into reality. There's another thing, I think it's the whole conversation of Pulp Fiction.
Fate, destiny, all these things I believe in so much.
No, divine intervention.
Divine intervention?
That's what they were talking about in Pulp Fiction. And it's basically the same thing here because the gun didn't go. Well, they shot him 5-7 times and the bullets just went around his whole body like a door, right?
Divine intervention. And why?
That's what it was for you.
Why is divinity intervening? Because maybe your fate was not to die right there.
Today you're not going to die. I mean, the fucking gun, it shot a bunch of rounds, and then the round he had pointed at you, it jams up. The next round, it pops off.
It's like God reached down and did a Steven Seagal, grabbed the upper receiver and kept the slide from going.
That's what he did.
Totally think that's what happened. And when you think about, like, I was talking this about a friend. I was like, he doesn't believe in destiny or fate. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you believe in fortune tellers. And he said, what? Yeah. And I go, how can you believe in fortune tellers and then not believe there's fate? Because how else would that fortune teller be able to tell you what's going to happen in your future? The only way they can do that is if your future is already predestined. Otherwise, it would constantly change every 15 minutes according to whatever decisions you make. And she or he, the fortune teller, would have no idea what your life's going to be like in the future.
I mean, if it's impossible to believe in the fortune teller and not fate. Because at the end of the day, the fortune teller, you know, technically on paper, is just a person who has the ability to read what is happening, right? They can, it's like a book, right? The fate and the universe is a big book.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's, you know, if you look at someone, you look their name up. All right, let's go. Here's their book in the universe. And you just go to and says, go to, you know, these pages, and it tells everything that's going to happen. They can only read it. They're not recreating our future. They're just tapping in the fucking universe pages and relaying it back.
If there's a book of fate, we can only see it letter by letter as it's written. We see the word once it's written. We see the sentence once it's written. That fortune teller can go all the way to the end of the book and go,
yeah,
this is how it ends.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
That's what they could do. That's what you're paying them. You're paying. It's like back in the day when barely anybody could read, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're paying them to spoil the movie.
Yeah. Bro, what's this book thing? What does it do and what does it say, man? Will you help me here? It's and like, that's exactly what it is.
It's like going to the movie theater, giving your $20 to the person taking your ticket and be like, okay, what happens to Tom Cruise at the end? And they tell you, that's going to a fortune teller. Except you're Tom Cruise and it's your movie.
Yeah. And guess what? Guess who's the executive producer? You. Who financed it? You. Who's grip? Who's casting? Who's doing the editing?
You. Who's co-starring? I don't know. It changes every couple of years. Yeah, I decide who my co-star is. Sometimes I sign up a co-star to go throughout the whole movie, and they get fired. They get fired partway through, and then boom, we recast.
Yeah. Well, no. Then part two. Oh, new partner.
Yeah.
New partner.
It's not Danny Glover this time. This time it's Samuel Jackson. That's what my life's like.
Yeah, and it's like it's just how it is, man. You know what I mean? It's just how it is. And people have to understand that. And at the end of the day, they're just fucking reading books for us, man. You know? Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks, buddy, for reading a book for me because I can't read.
Thanks for reading the last page so I could skip all the rest. I went to a fortune teller one time, and it's totally a true story. It was my senior year that we were graduating. It was our graduation party. Mm-hmm. My parents lived in Texas, so I couldn't really plan a graduation party for me. So me and my cousin Shannon split the graduation party, and it was at my cousin Shannon's house. So she got to invite some friends. I got to invite some friends. And that my aunt hired a fortune teller. Oh, her name was Georgiana. Mm-hmm. And she sat in one of the bedrooms, and people, our guests at the parties, could go in one at a time and get your fortunes read. And then Shannon and I got our fortunes read. And when I was sitting down with the fortune teller, Georgiana, she's doing tarot cards. She's flipping them up, and then she gives a read, and she says, okay, I see you in a uniform. And then I look down for a second. I'm wearing a sweatshirt that says U.S. Marine Corps on it. I'm like, oh, fuck, this bitch just read my shirt, whatever. And I go, like a military uniform? And she goes, no, it's not a military uniform. I see you wearing a police uniform. And at the time, I'd already was accepted at the University of Texas to go to school for advertising. So police work wasn't even in my future, as far as I know, because I can only see one letter at a time as it's written, one word at a time as it's written, right? She's reading the fucking back page.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
she licked her fingers and went, swipe 6 to 10 chaps.
I'm like, this chick is whack because I ain't never becoming a cop. And then she goes, and I see you talking into a microphone in front of crowds of people. And I'm like, well, what in the hell is that about? I was like, as a cop? And she goes, no, this is totally separate. I don't know what it is, but I keep seeing you talking into a microphone in front of crowds of people.
How much did you pay for this? This is spot on.
It was free. It was my graduation party.
Jesus, keep going. What else did she say?
That was it. Those were the two big things. And then I was like, man, that was fucking a waste of time or whatever. And then fucking bam, she nailed both of my professions for the rest of my life.
Dude, I think I have one still in play. One time I was working on that production gig when I first moved to LA. I was like, first couple of years I had that gig. And we were doing the MTV, the Comedy Central roast or whatever after party. So we took this nightclub that's right in Hollywood, big ass, awesome spot, and turned it upside down. A big old huge patio out there. I forgot what it was called, right off of Hollywood and Vine or something. And we just cleared it out, put in some other furniture. And then they had all these awesome booths, and they had fucking people reading fortunes, So all of our work is until the event. Then, you know, when the event starts, you kind of police the area. You just roam around, make sure everything's good. Basically, you just sit around and wait till the shit's over so you could pack it all up and head out. And then I go sit down, and the guy goes, and now listen, this isn't like, I don't know, people didn't keep in touch. I didn't give this guy my phone number. I don't even know if I told him my full name. And, I sit down. He's got this big-ass book. We're in this cool booth. He's swiping through pages. He starts telling me stuff. He's about, you know, about being entertainment and things like that. And then he goes, I see, you know, I really do see like a television show. But like the only way it works is if you're like the leader of a house of adopted children, where it's like a home that you run. That's the TV show for you. I can already see it. Like I can just see. What? And then, I don't know. He had said some shit beforehand, right? Like about, you know, entertainment. I was like, whoa, you know, but the main thing that stuck out was that. So then like, okay, whatever. So then like, 3 weeks later, this motherfucker called me. I was like, how's this guy? I'm like, hello. It's like, I read your fortune about 3 weeks ago. I was like, what? I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I was the one who told you that you should have this television show. Like you're the exact role that it needs. Blah, blah, blah. Like they said this whole thing. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I don't, obviously nothing ever materialized, but something happened. Like, I don't even know to this day how the motherfucker knew how to get in contact with me. And to tell me that, to know what I was up to, it's kind of like you, you know, he called a shot. Mm-hmm. And then nothing ever materialized, but maybe it hasn't materialized yet, Todd. That's the thing.
Maybe he confused you for Uncle Jesse. Holy a full fuck. House.
You know
Did
what?
You got the same hair.
We do. You know, oh my God, he thought I was going to co-star with Danny Tanner. He got us confused.
He thought, what's Uncle Jesse's real name?
John Stamos. John Stamos.
Yeah. Maybe he confused you with John Stamos, and he told John Stamos that he was going to have a cooking show where the ingredients cost under $20.
Yeah.
And Stamos was walking around today on a podcast telling that story. And about how one day he thinks that's his next big role.
I mean, listen, you can believe or you can choose not to believe. Now, what I'd rather believe a story that involves myself and my own firsthand, you know, interpretation or a book that had been telling us the same story since the dawn of time. A guy parted the sea. This guy did that. He came back later. He fucking rose up. You know what I mean?
Another guy lived in a well for 2 years in the stomach of a well. All these things that are so easy to believe.
I mean, every animal, two of everything. They're still figuring out shit, dude. Either way, you know, it is what it is. It's just one of those things. It's, I don't know. I don't, it's just something, but it's very enjoyable, you know?
I want to go back to a fortune teller again.
We should do that.
We should do that. I'm totally afraid that the next time I go, she's going to be like, I see you saying hello to people as they walk into the door of Walmart. You know,
I'm like, oh, fuck. I see you wearing a blue vest. I see you getting a really good spot up front at your job. See you in a blue vest. And just kind of
checking people's receipts as they leave. Okay. I think that would be Costco, but yeah, you're close.
You know, I think I see you asking people, saying hello to people when they come in. I think I see you greeting people at a Walmart. I wish they would get even more fucking, you know. I see you only working 2 years in New York at Barstool, not seven like you think in your brain. Damn, lady, you're good.
This fortune teller also told one of my cousin's best friend, only because she asked, but her sister, I guess, was sick or whatever. And she asked her if she was going to die soon or whatever. And she said, yes, she'll die in less than 2 weeks. And she did. Like, she came out of that room bawling and it ruined the whole party. Like, the whole party stopped. And we're like, my aunt's like, Georgiana, why did you tell her that? She's like, well, she asked me, and she is. And it's like, oh, my God. What are
Jesus,
you doing? Like, this is a high school party. Just be like, you know what? I don't answer questions like that, or I can't see anything. Fucking lie.
I mean, they got to go through some sort of training at fortune teller school or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Listen, little kids' classes, don't tell them they're going to die. That's number one rule, bro. Ooh, bad news. Like, that's a fucking man. I guess you can be ready to roll with it.
She's just flipping play over with fire. Flipping over cards, and she's like, "Ooh, wait, what's ooh? Well,
I wonder." But also, I wish we could hang out and just get real candid with an actual fortune teller that knows he's been full of shit his whole 30-year career.
I wonder if they're around, like ones that don't do it anymore, but are kind of like Penn and Teller, and they're revealing the trick behind the magic.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Do other magicians ever want to pop off at Penn and Teller because they're out here exposing the game?
I think they did it first, but now Penn and Teller is so rich, they're kind of like, hey, man, I need a gig. Like, will you put me on your show?
Oh, wait. So they're going back now to the other magicians that are outselling them?
I think because they had that show that was kind of showcasing young up-and-coming magicians.
Oh, they started running an open mic.
Yeah.
So, all right, right now, at the top of your head,
mm-hmm.
Write down a quick list. Jared, hit us with a clock. Hit us with a 20-second clock. And then note, hey, we swear on my good eye that we just thought of this. Okay, there's no editing. This is just live. Okay. Todd, tell me, name the top five magicians right now. Jared, hit the 20-second clock.
Got it.
Top five magicians currently?
No, of all time.
Of all time. All right. I'm going to say. Does this include escape artists?
Everybody. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
There's your 20 seconds.
That's already?
Yep.
Come on, all guys. Right.
I got three in.
Tim, I got three in.
Okay.
I mean, we probably got the same three. Well, we got at least the same two, probably.
Probably.
Obviously, you got to go with the ultimate beast of all time.
David Copperfield?
Houdini. But who you got number two?
I had Houdini number two, Copperfield number one.
Yeah, I had Copperfield number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then who's your number three, though?
Blaine.
David Blaine.
David
okay.
Blaine, only because I couldn't think of the other street magician's name who's bigger.
Chris Angel.
Yeah. Okay, my guy is the dude that has that show, the Carbonaro Effect.
He's my favorite.
That motherfucker does shit. I'm just like, what did this? My eye will pop in from time to time. Be like, wait. What did he just do? I'll be like, what's up, Lazy? Where you been? But then, no, but for real, like, this guy, when he does the shirt turning around thing,
mm-hmm.
It's like, that's fucking unreal. I don't know how he's doing it.
It's unreal, dude. And, you know, our manager, our booking manager for comedy was Carbonaro's road manager.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is so
weird. He's the one that got him traveling doing live shows. And then when he got super, super big, he, of course, took a big agency deal and they fucked him. And now he doesn't tour like he used to. But it's cool because the guy running the Tiger King tour now, like the road manager that got hired for that, he is the opener for Carbonaro.
Really?
And he was like, dude, and I guess Josh, he is a very well-respected magician in the industry. And he's like, dude, when you watch Carbonaro, like, it's a whole nother level. You're like, what the fuck? Like, even he thinks that. So.
Yeah, the behind-the-scenes guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how that, you know, yeah, that's understandable because I'm just like, how is he making a motherfucking chicken pop out of a toy car or whatever? When he showed up in a different box, that one where he like they cracked open the fucking crates at like a Home Depot and then he came out of it or something after he introduced himself and he like showed her, it's insanity. It was like, how's this guy? Dude. Because you have to like, you want to cut right to it. Like, fuck all the sparks, bro. How can this pop? We know it's not real. What's the minimum amount? Okay, there must be a hole in the other wall. He pops in, fucking goes into the box, shut down. Everything shuts down real quick, makes it look like it's been sealed up.
I know. Because
there's no other explanation.
But how do you do it without me seeing it? That's the fucking magic. Like, how are you because I know it's all about distraction and doing the obvious that people think you wouldn't do. But how do you do it without me fucking seeing you? Like, it's incredible.
It's real magic.
Like, I would
it's real magic.
I would be robbing banks and be like, I'll be, there's hey, no buddy, money in the bank.
Hey, do a twist. And then all of a sudden, all the money's gone or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Hey, pick a fist.
Like the magicians that did the bank robbery in the movie. Shit, with Woody Allen and Jesse Eisenberg. In that movie? Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm going to be honest. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a good flick. I want to say Catch Me If You Can. It sounds something like that. But Now You See Me or something like that. Great movie. Watch it. I watched a cool-ass documentary last night.
What was it
called? The Last Blockbuster.
Oh, cool. I saw that commercial.
The very last Blockbuster store. It's
there, you know, some towns still have the five-star videos and shit like that. I've seen them.
Yeah, this is an actual licensed Blockbuster.
Yep, bro. The last one.
The very last one. And it's in this little Bend, Oregon. This little town, Bend, Oregon, that is kind of like behind the times anyway. They like embrace the fact that they get everything last, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's ran by this lady. They call her the Blockbuster Mom because she's been the general manager like the whole time. And she's the only reason it keeps going. Like if you walk in there and you're like, oh,
it's still
shit.
It's still open?
Oh, it's still open to this day. They just renewed their license for another year through whoever owns Blockbuster's licensing. So if you walk in the store and you're like, oh, shit, you don't have Paul Blart 2. And she'd be like, you really like Paul Blart 2? And you're like, yeah. And she'd be like, okay, we'll have it by next week. She'll either go online and find it and buy copies so she has it in the store to rent, or she goes to Walmart or Target and shit like that and just buys the DVDs off the rack and then puts them up for rent.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. And she knows everybody in town because almost every kid in town worked there at some point.
Yeah.
So now she knows them when they're adults and they have kids of their own and they have these big parties, like these big reunion parties and stuff. It's a fucking great documentary.
I wish people knew how good it used to feel to do that. We used to have to leave the house so much more than we have to now, man. Dude. You don't have to leave the house. Before we're going to get the video. We're going to the video store. We're going to Blockbuster, dude.
Oh, man. And they have all these famous people talking about things they loved about that era back then. So yeah. They talked about a lot of it. But one of my favorite things was to go to the video store, right? When you know, because every time you went to the video store, they're like, Armageddon's coming out on August 12th. August 12th, we'll have Armageddon. So you're like, oh, I'm going to get there, you know, and get Armageddon. And they're all out. You're like, fuck. Okay, when do they come back? Well, we have three copies that are due back tomorrow by 4 p.m. You're like, sweet. So you show back up at like 3:55 p.m. And you're like, hey, you don't see them on the shelf. But you're like, did anybody happen to return Armageddon yet? I don't know. Let me check the Bend. And they open the thing up. People dump them into the slot. And they're like, yes, we have two copies right here. And you're like, yes. You
score,
fucking.
Bro.
Felt
and it always
good.
Felt so much better when you went the backdoor route like that. You're like, hey, is anything in the bin from the return bin that you haven't put in the shelf yet? Is it there? That's nice. Did you call it a Bend, by the way?
I call it a Bend. And it's
not it's a bin, right? Bin, B-I-N, like a bin, not a.
Yeah,
like a
I think bin. I said Bend because of Bend, Oregon. But yeah, it's okay. A Bend, B-I-N. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, so you say Ben.
Yeah, I do say Bend, but I think I said Bend because of Bend, Oregon, where the store is. I had it on the brain.
You know, my lady and her son and daughter, they always clown on me because I say different shit. Like the way I say windmill, like the restaurant, but it's windmill.
Yeah. And now I will do the opposite.
They all lay
into
me.
If I'm talking about a dinner, like instead of meal, I'll say mill.
Yeah, the meal.
Oh, that was a great meal. Instead of meal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I'm the opposite of you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I don't know what it is, but I say some other things too. They always get me on that one. They get me on like four different things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Popeyes, because I say Popeyes. It's Popeyes, bro.
Ah.
So well, it's Popeyes. It's Popeyes, bro.
It's Popeyes. Yeah, I like lazy and through words. It's fucking great. You know what else I used to love about the old school video stores? The porn thing in the back.
Oh, man.
The little room in the back, dude. I mean, one time, my wife and I went back there to get some porn, and you know, it had the little beads for the door, so you walk and you're back there, and you just kind of, because you're in your own little, we're in a small town, everybody knows everybody, so we're like, okay, so we pick out a couple, and we walk out, and boom, this is the very first time we did it, we walk out, boom, her fucking, one of her high school teachers is looking on the shelf, like that's right next to the door, and just turns and looks right at her and just turned around real fast.
That is funny because people know in town, like they see you in that little room.
Yeah. She was like, oh my God, I didn't want to fucking go back there. And now fucking Mrs. Blah, blah, blah just saw me fucking buying porn. I'm never coming back here ever again.
I was like, I love that. Whatever. That's nice, bro. You just had to say that you used to have to leave for everything.
You did.
You gotta leave now.
I even, like when I was in college, I didn't even have a VCR. So we would go and rent the VCR for the weekend and rent the movies. And then we would take both of them back at the same time. It was crazy.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Because it was so expensive to buy a VCR back then.
Yeah. It was like $600-$700 at least.
Yeah.
Like probably more than that.
$4,000 for a Zenith VCR or whatever it was. I was like, fuck, I'm getting out of my college kid. So we
Yeah, like 7 years on me. So you had like a better, way more clear action on the VCR being badass.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was, to me at that point, it was already just normal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, we had the fucking double. Oh, forget about it. The rewinder, we had a little rewinder.
Oh, so you rewind them yourself before
you having because you don't want the VCR. Fucking, yeah, the playheads on the VCR to get worn out.
Wears them out. Wears them out too fast. See? People
it's a
didn't
known
know.
Fact. Over 40-year-old dudes all know you didn't want to use your VCR to rewind all the movies because it not fucks up the heads.
Especially when your VCR costs more than your car.
Yeah.
Like you didn't want to wear out the heads. You'd rather wear out the heads on your fucking car engine than you would the heads on your VCR.
And somebody had to take the movies back and make sure that we rewound. I had a little rewind machine. It was like it would pop up. Some of them were like a car. And then where the ass end would open up, and then you put it in there and you shut it. Rewind it real quick. Pop her out. Get her back in the Blockbuster case and get her down there.
I loved popping the case open too. It always went like, and the tape would kind of pop up and you'd fumble it for a second. Got it. I loved it.
Yeah. Then if you didn't rewind, oh man, don't fuck around, not rewind, because you got to pay the rewind fee. It's $5.
And if you wanted to, if you wanted to record something, you had to pop in a tape and then fucking hit record while you were watching whatever it was you're watching, and you go into another room, you know, so you didn't spoil it.
Yeah.
And then you save it. And if you didn't forget to fucking break the little tab off so you couldn't record over it, your fucking sister would record her cartoons over Scarface. And you're like, fuck. I was 2.5 hours that I went down to my room and didn't watch it so I could record it and watch it later.
Yeah.
And you fucking recorded Rainbow Bright right over.
And you know what? Those are the things that are going to happen. I used to record Jordan all the time, bro. I have somewhere in the universe is a bag of VHS videotapes of Jordan going to the hoop.
Nice.
Because I used to record it all. I had the double head VCR, you know, the blank one, the fucking one you're recording.
Yeah.
Or also, that's if you wanted to copy, but also you can record off TV. And that was when it was popping. You can record off TV. I had so many Jordan tapes. I used to watch him try to do his moves.
Nice.
I could do that crossover.
Let's play it back. You'd go like 20 minutes too fast because it's so fast. Yeah. Ah, shit.
Ah, fuck.
I'm a halftime.
Too far. Too far. It's fun to think about. Like I think our Generation X, that's us, Gen Xers.
Mm-hmm.
You're Gen X, right? You're right at the cusp.
Mm-hmm. Gen X.
Yeah, so we had the most change, I think, from like how our life was lived as a child to our adults. Because these kids now, it's all the same to them from you know, children to adults. Little pads and shit.
Like literally nobody goes out for anything anymore. They don't go out for food. They don't have to go out for groceries. They don't have to go out to buy shit for around the house, camera equipment. They don't have to go out to go get movies, to bring them home to watch. Everything is right here. Just go on your phone, go on your app. Boom. It's on its way, or I'm watching it right now.
Well, if you're 17 years old, you don't know an iPhone-less life right now, because it came out in 2006 or whatever. So obviously you don't remember shit when you're one or two. Mm-mm. So you could back it up a couple years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you're 15 right now, add a couple more. So you could be 17 years old and never even live in a pre-iPhone. That's insanity.
It was like one time my son jumped in my police car, which was, it was an undercover car. It was a truck. And the windows had hand crank. And he jumped in it, and he was like, how did I roll down the window? Like, he had no concept of those ever existing. He only knew power windows. It's like that today with Gen Y or whatever, or the one under them. Like, fucking, they have no concept of anything pre-iPhone. What a fucking perspective, man.
Always having the answers on hand, not just always be able to have a strong ability to make them up.
Oh, come on.
Come on, guy.
So hard to be a liar now. You can't even lie.
Dude, man, liars used to thrive. They were fucking on a run, dude, a tear for centuries.
Lying is almost done completely, because the only thing right now you can lie about is like what you did yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. You could say something happened while you were at Walmart yesterday.
Yeah.
But like 10 years from now, people are going to be able to go, oh, really? Well, what time was that? 3 p.m. yesterday? Okay. Which Walmart? Okay. The one at the corner of New York and Vine. All right. Sweet. And they're going to go on their phone and access the fucking public system that controls all closed circuit TV cameras throughout the entire city and just watch and be like, motherfucker, you weren't even at Walmart at 3 p.m. yesterday at that location.
I just had your cell phone records subpoenaed. I pinged your tower. You were fucking in Santa Monica. You just can't get away with it. It's over.
I know. And what's the world going to be like when you can't fucking lie anymore?
You just go from fucking planet to planet in your spaceship with your folks, bro.
Right now.
Do whatever you want. You just go find a different planet. I think that's what happens, right? I think eventually you hit this quadruple black belt level of humanity where you're at the height of the technological peak of all living things in space, right? No matter how big it is, there's somebody out there that's ahead of everybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
You hit that level, and then what happens is you just go live wherever you want. It's like some fucking, you're the guy that knows it all fucking 6,000 years in advance. So if I come back to Earth, I could be Mark, and I could be Elon Musk. I'm over here making up shit that to these people is the most groundbreaking shit in the history of mankind. But to me, it's like a toothpick. Yeah, you just sharpen the edges and it's fucking pick at your teeth. But that's it. That's the level of simplicity compared to how fucking advanced Elon Musk could be. Some dude from, we don't know.
Well, he probably is.
I mean, him.
The way he belongs here.
There's a group of them. Like they, you know, maybe they can, maybe you have to make a reservation. Like Earth is like a restaurant. You know, all the planets are like restaurants. And there's only each one only has so many reservations. And when you're that quadruple black belt, most technologically advanced civilization in space,
mm-hmm.
then you just, there's millions of planets. You just make a reservation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to go there for 100 years.
This is what the world would be like. That's you what really, the world's going to be like one of these days.
You really committed to that bit, Todd.
I did.
You pulled out the car. You pulled it, and it hit. And
no
it hit
more hard. Lies. I mean, what?
No more lies,
fucking
bro.
Time to be alive. We're 10 years away from no more lies. Lies are going to be extinct.
And then everybody has to tell the truth unless you go to another universe where they haven't caught up yet. And that's how it works.
It's going to be so easy for cops. Everybody
time
has
cop.
To tell the truth.
Time cop.
Why even be a cop at that point? It's too easy.
No point. No more lies, bro.
Were you speeding? No, sir.
Mm-mm.
Wrong. Let me show you on my camera speed trap.
Live app. Satellite feed of the whole planet.
Right now. Elon Musk is going to have it all laid out. Everything will be shot continually like Google Earth Live with the ability to zoom in at any longitude and latitude you want.
Yeah.
And instead of just seeing a picture of when the car drove by and took the picture, you're going to see live video happening right now.
And then you're going to be able to switch over to the Google cam of that and then see the street view live.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's that. And then it's all over. You're in public. You're in public. It's like being the internet. You're out in public. There's no more conspicuity. Is that a word? Good question.
Conspicuous is a word. Conspicuosity?
I don't know what it is. I said inconspicuity.
Yeah. That.
That might go on a shirt. Inconspicuity. What is that? You don't fucking get it.
I don't fucking get it. Well, I can't wait until I can watch what's going on in your backyard right now. I just get on Google Earth. I wonder what Sean's doing in his backyard. Yeah. Is he throwing bags? Is he cooking something up on the grill? What's he doing? Smacking one off, rolling a fat one?
Rolling the mower, trying to make it look like center field at Wrigley in July. I just want to cut my yard to make it look like a fucking baseball field, Todd. Like, I want to make it look like some fool's about to trot out there, warm up, and then make a play at the wall, dude. Play at the wall.
I wonder if the world's going to regress at some point. If they're like, all right, people are getting too soft because the world's getting too easy. Mm-hmm. We need to take it back to a certain point in time. Like, kids don't do anything dangerous anymore, almost already. Like, all their games are like kid proof, you know, where our games were like you could die, maybe, yeah. You know, yeah. Like jarts. We had giant.
Oh, yeah. The long darts.
10-pound lawn darts that you could throw. It would easily just go straight through your skull if it were hit you in the head.
You follow through a little too much, drop the dart at a little too high of an angle, 88, 89 degrees, 90 degrees, and then next thing you know, you got a fucking 12-pound metal lawn dart coming at your skull. Hit the deck, dude.
560 kids a year died in the U.S. from lawn darts.
And I'm telling you what, though, that didn't stop us, bro. With a good lawn dart sesh, put the circles down. It's showtime. That's my original cornhole, lawn darts.
We used to go on opposite sides of the house and just throw them blindly to the other side. And you wouldn't see it till it came over the peak of the roof.
Yeah.
And you'd have to run away. Or we would throw it up and stand in a group, like with our shoulders touching, like that tight.
Yeah,
and somebody would throw it up as high as they could, and if you won, you were the last one to move away.
I mean, that's respectful.
We were asking to be killed at all times.
We used to play heads up. No, we used to play butts up in California. You do something with a ball, then you got to run and touch the wall, and get back. But then whoever was last had to go stand on the wall with their hands against the wall, and then someone gets to run and throw the ball at their ass. It's harder like a rubber ball, like a racket ball.
I love it.
Butts up. I mean, Jared, can you Google butts up? It's a game on the West Coast when we were kids, bro, on the racquetball fucking court.
It might be the 99th thing on Google when you Google butts up, but
yeah, quotes for it. Butts up in quotes. Butts up elementary school game.
There you go.
California, 1987.
Also, I'd be interested to see what some of the other butts up queries bring up in the list on Google.
Let's go ahead.
Just
go ahead and pull up the Google search on butts up.
That's probably going to be the name of a film of some sort, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Two butts up.
Butts up.
Butts up, homie. That's how production guys in the porn industry talk to each other. Butts up, homie.
Hey, butts up. Is on Wikipedia the first thing that comes up.
What's it say?
Wall ball. Butts up or wall ball is a North American elementary school children's playground game originating in the 1950s or earlier. Is slightly similar to the game screen ball, which began in the 1940s or 1950s. I think this is also the game they play in the prison yard, isn't it? Like handball?
Yeah, scroll back down. I don't know. Let's see. No. Butts up. Go back up. Look at this, dude. Fucking look at butts up, bro. Look at the picture, dude.
No, you're just throwing. One guy has his head against the wall, and his ass is facing the thrower, and the thrower is about maybe 20 feet away.
Maybe good 15, though. Good, maybe 15 max, I'd say.
And this is called the blue gooch variation, because you're going to end up with the blue gooch once it hits your taint.
Take a screenshot of that. Command shift 4. Can you make it bigger again? Yeah, right there. Hold on.
The player who is out most keeps their legs apart, so the thrower has a chance at shooting them in the perineum, which is also known as the taint. It's the taint shot.
Yeah. Butts you're up, homie.
Exposing your taint to see if the other guy can hit it.
Yeah, and on the West Coast, we call it butts up, bro. You if you were the last, whatever, however it worked, you had to go lane up, take a shot to the ass, or you know, the back, if the angle you'd get, he wouldn't really hurt, you know. But if you get a good clean shot to the ass cheek, it could hurt.
Butts up. I fucking love that game. I never even heard of it. I can't believe I didn't play it because it's dangerous. We played all the dangerous games, I thought.
Ton of tetherball, dude.
Oh, yeah. Tetherball. We used to have BB gun fights like crazy with real just BB guns. Like, I don't know how anybody didn't lose an eye.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we didn't.
Bro, in ninth grade in South Carolina, they let us shoot shotguns, and we clay shoot in high school and fucking junior high.
What?
In South Carolina. I moved to South Carolina in, like, I don't know, 91 or some shit, early 90s. I lived there for fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, and end of fifth grade, all of sixth, all of seventh, and then 90% of eighth. And, yeah, bro, in junior high there, we fucking took a six-week course on safety, right? You know, you have to go do all the tests and blah, 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 you know the weapon, know everything. And then at the end of that, everybody you pass, we went out back. There was a huge field over a forest. It was like it dipped down, right? Like it was like a big hill, and then it dipped down into like a big valley, and then it was forest. Coach is sitting there, whoo, pull! We get a shotgun, dude. Poof! We're in ninth grade. We were doing skeet shooting, bro.
Can you imagine today if there was a big faculty meeting, like getting ready for the week before school starts, and they're just going around and all the members of faculty are throwing in new ideas to jazz up the curriculum, and the PE teacher was like, raise his hand, and they're like, yes, Mr. Johnson. He's like, I was thinking about introducing skeet shooting. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. So you want to arm the kids with shotguns? He's like, yeah, it'd be fun. You know, you learn a useful skill or whatever. But we're trying to keep the guns out of the school.
Listen, it's skeet shooting, not a big deal. We'll teach them how to use it, and then we're going to hand them a fucking 12-gauge shotty. And then I'm going to say, and then they say, pull, I'll throw a clay. They blast one off, keep it moving. Yeah. But, dude, we did that. That's awesome. That's
crazy.
Yeah, one of the hardest laughs I remember. That school, we did so much more stuff. That was in Gaffney, South Carolina. That's the same place where, what's his name from that show on HBO that's now Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
He was a politician from Gaffney.
He has a key to the town. The mayor gave him, and they took it back last year. They're like, we don't want him accessing any locked doors.
Yeah, so, and another thing we did was we took a six-week course on how to score bowling, and then for like 2 weeks, we would leave at second period on a bus down to the bowling alley.
Yeah,
and we then, did that. Yeah, you went down to the bowling alley and bowled for an hour, right?
Yeah, it was cool.
Now, the funny part was when I started, this is when I really, I don't know if I started to really fucking figure out that I loved making people laugh and laughing very hard, is that when the dude and a kid in my class would bowl, I hit the button to drop down the thing, right?
A little and then arm.
This kid is standing there at the end of the end of the lane, like he just hits the ball right before it fucking hits. I hit the button, bro, and it would have the loudest bang you've ever heard in your life, bro. Wham, dude!
Fucking Latham.
It would rock the bowling alley, dude.
That was gonna be a strike.
Oh man, bro. And I would just be like, my stomach would be hurting. I would be in such pain from laughing because that fool would always be embarrassed because it looks like he bowled on off. It didn't look like, they didn't know I did it. They thought he just went too early or late or something.
Oh yeah.
So it looked like it was his fault. But I just remember just hunched over, just in a cramping up from laughing. It was such a loud, awesome noise, bro. The whole bowling alley sounded like it exploded, like a fucking bomb went off.
Jesus, thinking about those days just puts me in the right state of mind. You know what I mean? Dude,
it's almost shit. Relaxing.
I just chill. You know what else puts me in this right state of mind?
What?
It's Streetchi.
Dude, I knew you were gonna say it because that's what puts me in the right state of mind.
Oh, dude, I'm so in love with Streetchi. So happy that it just upgraded their sponsorship package for this show to include even more inventive ways to advertise. Yes. I mean, they're our friends now. They're our close personal friends. We use the shit out of their products.
Well, we were at dinner with the higher ups there at Streetchi, and it's obvious, you know, it's obvious, bro. We don't do that unless it's a legit company, man, with a legit product. You know what I mean? A company that is that's all the products are made in the USA, Todd, by USA grown hemp, Todd.
And only once. And Mr. Chi that we were talking to, he's one of the three Chis, but he's the most important one. We were like, you know what we like most about Streetchi, Mr. Chi? And he's like, what's that? We were like, well, the Delta 8 products were the first federally legal THC products sold in the USA since Prohibition started almost 90 years ago. And he was like, wow, you've really done your research. We're like, yes, we like to pay attention to what's legal and not legal. We like to push that envelope as much as we can. We feel like that's what you're doing. It's a federally legal version of THC. It's Delta 8, not Delta 9. And the best part about that is Delta 8 gives you all the medicinal effects of Delta 9, all the feel good stuff without all the negative, without all the laziness, anxiety, paranoia, or mental fogginess. You know what I'm saying, Sean?
Let them know, Todd. Speak on it, my man. I'm going to tell you right now, what you want is a quality product that's formulated by a biochemist.
Give me a good biochemist formulation. I mean, time.
Here's my Delta 8. Here's the hemp. Here's the USA grown hemp. Here's the Delta 8 in it. Here's a biochemist. Make magic. We're going to package it up into a delicious watermelon gummy and send it off at the most reasonable price. That, I mean, I'm surprised this company's even in business.
They're almost giving it away. And I since then, I stopped fucking with other chemists. I used to hang out with other kinds of chemists all the time.
They're losing so much money that their uniforms are just, they can't even wear shirts. Only the women can. The men can't even wear shirts. They just wear a tie around their neck and pants.
Damn.
Because they're giving it away, bro.
They're givers. That's what they are. Delta 8 will have you feeling amazing, yet be functional and clear-headed instead of lazy and paranoid. That's the only part I don't like about Delta 9. Sometimes that happens.
Yep.
And the best part is we're talking about the people that created the industry. They invented the industry. There was no industry before Streetchi came out with the Delta 8. Let's go.
Anybody else doing this is a knockoff. I mean, a legit knockoff, because Streetchi invented the market, the industry. They are the real deal. And you're going to be feeling comfortably numb. That's how we break it down on this podcast.
Enjoy your knockoff. Enjoy your apple dapples, because I'm going to eat some Apple Jacks. You know, I'm about the OG. So here's the deal. It's only available at Streetchi.com and at select retailers around the country. If there happens to be one near you, you must be 21 to purchase, because it's the real deal.
Yeah. Say no fake shit, my man.
Ain't no fake shit. Go to Streetchi.com for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. Make your own. Pass them around. This?
That's my favorite. I have the I roll with the oil, and I am making everything, bro. Anything you make, dude, breakfast, when I hit my scrambled eggs, I start whipping with a nice wrist action. Good, consistent whipping. You know what I mean? You want a good, consistent yolk, Todd. And guess what I do? I drop in some Streetchi drops, and I'm comfortably numb eating a delicious breakfast.
Use code GUNS at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Again, I can't say it enough times. You got to be 21 to purchase. Promo code GUNS to receive 5% off. They're giving the store away. Must be 21 to purchase. Listen, also, you can follow them on social media at Streetchi Canna. Look that up. All three socials.
Yep. Get on there. Handle it. But you know
they're our friends.
If you're trying to consume it, you got to be 21.
Don't fuck around, dude.
You're not ready for it. If you're not
all kidding. This nostalgia talk has me going. Like, you ever meet like someone from your childhood TV days, and it just like when I got to hang with Todd Bridges the whole weekend, I was like, I just feel extra good right now. I feel like a 12-year-old boy who has no worries in life, just sitting around. What you talk about, Willis? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't want to say that in front of him because I don't want to be hacky, but I wanted to say it the entire time. Yeah. Around him, it just puts you in a different place.
It's nice. I'm sitting Indian style, you know, right there in the living room, just peeping it 4 feet out, just watching the show.
I when he was like, he was just sitting around enjoying his coffee, and I sat crisscross applesauce style right across from him and poured a big like cake mixing bowl full of cereal. Yeah, I just started eating. I was just like, well, the whole time he was talking.
Just going. Yeah.
Just I was sitting in front of the TV in the living room.
You were a Golden Grahams kid, right? You were a big Golden Grahams guy?
When I was a kid, you know what? It was weird. You know what my favorite cereal was when I was a kid?
Don't say cornflakes. I'm kicking you off this podcast.
Frosted Mini Wheats.
Okay. That's respectable.
My dad really dug them, so they were always around, and I couldn't get enough of them. Cereal got better.
Oh, yeah. Cereal got better from that, too. That was a crossover cereal between old to young.
Yeah.
That one could fly from your 80-year-old grandma down to your 8-year-old, you know, little buddy.
Oh, yeah. Fruit Loops was another big one, I guess. All the Pebbles. Fruity, Cocoa. I don't get
the richest ones of all, though, was the Cookie Crisp. Hit me with some Cookie Crisp. I'm like, whoa. My mom is throwing cash around, my man.
She must have got a Christmas bonus.
She must have picked up a part-time job at the Christmas tree lot.
Dude, did you guys see this thing with Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yeah, no. The shrimp?
Yeah, they had shrimp tails in their box of cereal and rat poop and floss.
Oh, nice, dude. What do we expect going on there, bro?
Now they're putting in prizes?
Now, here's the deal. I got the shrimp tails. You know what? If you want a company that large keep dishing out the goods, you're going to have to take some shrapnel from time to time. I don't understand why people don't understand corporate shrapnel when it comes to product.
I don't
just
either.
Sign on, dude. You know you might some shit. An animal might fucking fall off the roof into the big thing of milk or whatever, dude. I mean, it's just going to happen. It's part of how it works. No company actively wants a fucking whatever, shrimp tails in, somehow. I don't know. Was somebody eating lunch in there? And they're tempura tails. They were eating tempura.
Oh, look at that. Here's some pictures. People showing off their goodie bags.
Oh, wow.
Big old shrimp tails, too. So that looks like maybe that was employee sabotage. Maybe pissed off employee was like, I'm going to bring a little bag full of stuff. And now, if that's the case, how did you choose these three items? You just went around the house. You're like, okay, I have a bunch of shrimp tails laying around in the trash. Let me pick those out from last night's dinner. And then, here's some used dental floss that I have and some rat poop. Why did you have rat poop in the same location as the shrimp tails and the dental floss?
That's somebody that just, bro, that was somebody that was in charge of putting out the rats, you know, poison around the facility. And he stopped off. He had, you know, he had some tempura shrimp roll. He had a couple tempura rolls and then he ate them, fell off, you know, and then he flossed real quick. And then he had it all in a little bag and somehow it got loose and it got into whatever they're doing. They must be grinding. It could be grinding up some shit. That's the thing. That's where the worry is. Do they got something going on with the company and shrimp tails and one of the machines that grinds up the fucking end of the tails broke down and then it just sent them all out half full?
I don't know.
The question.
Are they sharing a factory with, you know, is it one side dental floss, one side shrimp, one side rat poop, one side?
How do you, how are you so sure it's dental floss and not just string, dude? Who decided that? I think someone wanted to up the ante over at fucking Cinnamon Toast Crunch Warehouse.
Because it had little chunks of chicken meat on it.
Oh.
Because that's when you always
need gingivitis particles.
Yeah. Because you always need dental floss for that little piece of chicken that gets caught between your teeth.
Always gets in there. It always gets caught in there, dude. You know what I mean?
It does. It does. The older I get, too, I'm imagining because I've been chewing lippers since I was 19.
Yeah.
I've had some receding in the gum line, so it gets easier for stuff to get stuck in there. I had a whole slice of pizza get stuck in there the other day.
Yeah, from what I understood, though, you went in there. It was a New York slice, too, one of the bigger ones, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, from Luca. It was just like half in there. I was like, holy shit.
You had to call in the fire department, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm, I did. They got in there and then had to cut it apart. And then they opened up the fire hose and just shot it in my face to clear the rest of it out.
I thought it was really nice that the one guy decided to throw a little cup, a little bit of red pepper flakes on it before he did that. That was gentlemanly.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. And it was getting plenty of water, so the burn went away real fast. You know,
a little Parmesan in there, right there to coat the bottom of the belly. Everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found some extra ammunition in there once.
Yeah. Then you found a couple bullets in there. You had eight in them.
Mm-hmm.
Eight
I was like, shit. What? I'm missing a bullet here from, it was like from the shoot the other day. I was like, oh, yeah. There's a 9mm. How'd I get
there? Never mind. Hey, crumble up the report. I got it.
Yeah. 1 year, my taxes were in there.
That's wild.
I was like, fuck, I lost my tag. I lost my W-2.
Dude, one time I heard you had a microphone fell in there and you did a podcast for a year, didn't even know it.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Because he was even posting the fucking Apple and the Stitcher and all that. And Audio Boom.
Had 7,000 listens per episode too. It was doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a couple thousand per teeth.
Yeah. It was in the domestic argument genre. It was just me having domestic arguments all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You did it. You always had one of them shirts that they referred to as the quote unquote, well, I don't want to say it. I don't want to get canceled. It's the white t-shirt and they call it the other thing.
Yeah.
It's a domestic abuse and it's not good. It's a very bad thing.
But not a good husband.
They're not a good husband tank.
Yeah.
And but they're comfortable, you know. You get a nice tight one, you end up being skinnier for the day because you suck it in. Like, you literally can suck it in. You helps you suck it in a good
my,
tight,
my lady called domestic. It by that the other day. She wanted to get me she was like, I'm gonna order you a couple of these wife bees. And I was like, did you just call them wife bees? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, are you like trying to tell me something?
I heard that you almost canceled her in your house.
I did.
She almost got canceled in the house on the internet at your house.
I wouldn't let her post on social media for the rest of the week.
Well, from what I understand, the router won't even work for her devices.
Mm-mm, she's blocked.
Yep. She's been canceled.
Can't even sign on the Wi-Fi.
The rep from Cox called. Mm-hmm. And not even from an 800 number, from like a personal number.
Yep. It's like, hey, just so you know, that chick's blocked right now. Done. Can't log in your Wi-Fi. And I'm like, phew.
Canceled.
Thank you, Comcast. She deserved it.
Yeah.
Can't call them that anymore.
That's how it works. Catch up with the times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No more F-bombs, okay, with the double G. And you sure can't say the dub B, you know, with reference to a T.
Mm-mm. Can't say it. Can't say the WB. I feel like we should come up with a new nickname for those that's okay, because you can't just, I don't even know what the regular name for it is, to be honest. I wouldn't even know how to Google it. Just tight fitting white tank top that you wear under other shirts, like that might come up.
I feel like it goes by the ribbed tee, the ribbed tank.
That's what I call my penis.
That's exactly what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. Oh shit, bro!
I feel like I we should work on that. We should work on renaming the WB. And we know who usually wears them. Like, we're talking about people that wear them, like to wear them.
Yeah, yeah.
Not wear them under other clothing, like you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Just the person that's like, no, this is I'm wearing this to church.
Yeah,
like that person. And I don't know, like meth head, maybe fit at one time, but
biker top.
Mm-hmm.
The 3%er tanker.
Yeah.
Something like that. Also, but guys, please go ahead and head over to our YouTube and subscribe. We do have video there. We'd like for you guys to just head on over and hit the like. If a fraction of the people that listen to this went over there, our shit would go right through the roof.
And we would love it. We'd be very appreciative. The unemployed tank. I think maybe we just call it the unemployed tank.
Let's call it the unemployed. I was raised wrong. I have skewed morals tank.
Yeah. If you wear that in public and only that as your shirt, you don't have a job. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't have a gig.
Mm-mm.
Unless you just got from the barber shop and you didn't want to get hair all over your new white Stanford tee. You know? Yeah,
you had to take that off for the
ride. Right. Just got the fade cleaned up. Don't want to get hair all over the Stanford tee.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and let it go with the my father was a bad example tee. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's another good one. And when you stop it to get gas on the way home, you clearly tell everybody, no, I got hair on it. I had to take it off. That's why I'm wearing this. I do have a job. And I did have a good dad.
Yeah. So. No. Yeah, yeah. No, I grew up on a cul-de-sac. I just got a fade, you know? Yeah.
And I'm not going to drive off from this pump without paying. So don't worry.
Don't worry. You know, my word is good here. I get a haircut every week because I can afford it because I work hard and I'm diligent and on time.
I just don't like the feel of regular shirts rubbing my skin. That's
it. I don't want to get itchy. I got to work the 5 p.m. shift. I'm closing tonight.
What is the benefit of wearing that under another shirt? Because I'm going to start doing it. I think.
I wear them every day.
I know you do. And I just got to be a benefit to it. It's just the feel.
It feels good.
Moisture.
But it's, you know, it's soaking up the sweat, bro. Mm. I'm not going to be sweating all over. I mean, I might catch a pit sweat if I have that on in a hot day in a long sleeve. Maybe when I'm laying, me and my lady are posted up at the happy hour at a wedding in a 80 plus degree situation.
Yeah, or if you're trying to solve a crime as a detective in New Orleans, they always get a bit of sweat going.
Yep. Other than that, though, it's just, you know, that body sweat, man. The sweat from the pits rolls on down. It's just one big sweat towel, really, that just fits your body comfortably, like the same way a bulletproof vest does.
Oh, I like that.
You know?
I like that. It's like wearing a sweatproof vest.
Yeah. I think next up, bulletproof my dad raised me wrong tees. You know what I mean?
Boy, those guys sure need it.
They sure need it. Taking shots.
They're taking shots all the time.
It's hot in these streets, bro. You know what I mean?
It is hot in the streets. It's hot in this podcast studio.
You know what? People don't get it, man. The hood don't sleep. You know? They don't sleep now.
It don't sleep. You always got to be ready. If we start selling those on the street, that's when we make our first million.
We might just start selling packs on the website. I'm going to slap a sticker on them.
Bulletproof, my dad was a bad role model, tanks.
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. My father. Now
on GunsBlazingPodcast.com. All right, brother. This has been a fun one.
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody, go right now to YouTube. Subscribe to the Guns Blazing channel, the Guns Blazing Podcast channel. We need you and we love you.